From KQED Public Radio and the California Report, this is Capital Notes, our weekly look at California politics and public policy. I'm John Myers from KQED, and this is a special holiday version of the Capital Notes podcast where we're stepping away from the weekly issues. We'll be back to that after the first of the year, so look forward to that. And, of course, there's so much going on with the state budget problems here at the state capitol in Sacramento that we'll have a lot to talk about in 2009, obviously. But on this week, on this holiday week, we're stepping back, and I wanted to bring you a conversation that I had recently for a radio story that I did for the California Report, a conversation with Leon Panetta, the former White House Chief of Staff under President Clinton, former congressman from Monterey, and well-respected among all circles in California politics. And Panetta has taken up a new cause, which is some reform of the systemic budget problems here in Sacramento, the ongoing cycles of feast and famine and the disagreement and the gridlock that has certainly plagued the budget process for the last couple of years. Panetta now is the co-chair of a bipartisan group called California Forward, which has been looking for solutions to California's budget fiasco. And California Forward has recently put forward a set of proposals, which I'll link to on our website. You can see with the podcast here, five proposals that kind of run the gamut of systemic change to try to find some way around this ongoing cycle where we constantly seem to be in a budget impasse. So Leon Panetta and I spoke the other day, and I began by asking him how he felt about the systemic budget problems in California before he began this process and how he feels about it now. Did all of those conversations with all of those key role players here in the state capitol, did those conversations change his perception of the problem?
Well, it has changed it in the sense that you really do, when you go out to people at the regional and local level, encounter a very deep level of frustration with the state process. Most of these local governments really do try to operate on a pretty tight ship. They've got to exercise a great deal of accountability with regards to spending. And frankly, their budget process is much stricter in terms of making sure that funding goes to the right programs. And when they look at the state level, when they look at the state process, they are absolutely amazed at the lack of accountability, the lack of oversight that is present at the state budget level.
I know you've had a lot of experience with gridlock in Washington. I'm wondering, based on your experience of that kind of gridlock in the past in D.C., what similarities or differences do you see from a distance at the gridlock in Sacramento?
Well, unfortunately, there are a lot of similarities. We've had basically partisan trench warfare for almost the last decade in which both parties have been in their trenches, and to a large extent, winning becomes more important than governing. So neither has really stepped up to the plate and made the tough decisions that you have to make if you're going to deal with the problems facing the country and facing the state. There are two fundamental problems here in California. One is the lack of political will to deal with these tough challenges at a time of crisis. And the second is that they operate by a budget process, frankly, that does not hold them accountable. They can use smoke and mirrors. They can use other gimmicks to try to kick the can down the road, as they did this last fall, and somehow they don't have to pay a price, and somehow that's got to change.
I noticed that California Forward is looking at five broad areas of reform, and you've got a multi-year budgeting proposal here, which I think you all would say would give us a chance to look long-term rather than short-term. But of course, as you know, when short-term problems happen, I guess someone has to go back in and have a mechanism for getting into a long-term budget.
Well, that's true, but the problem in California right now is that there's very little long-term perspective in the budgets that they've passed. They don't look 3 or 4 years down the road. They don't look at what the implications are going to be of the decisions they make. And so what they do is they try to play short-term games just to try to, in my words, tiptoe past the cemetery and somehow get by with it. They've got to focus on multi-year budgeting, in the very least look at a 2-year time frame, so that the decisions they make for the people of California, not only deal with present issues, but also deal with future issues as well.
I noticed the recommendations talk about a results-based process as well for making budget decisions. Could you elaborate on what that means?
Yeah, basically it's something that other states have put into place and done it well. It's essentially saying you ought not to operate your budgets on an autopilot where you simply continue to fund programs whether or not they're working. There ought to at least be some performance standards that are set out there by which you can judge whether or not these programs should be increased, should they be continued, or frankly, should they be stopped or cut back. And right now, the way the budget process works in California, they basically fund programs that are in place without determining whether or not those programs are working or not.
As you know, a lot of that that autopilot budgeting process is influenced by the initiative process. And I would think there are people who have said in the past that that initiative process could somehow undermine some of those reforms because the voters don't see that big picture. And I know you all are not calling for reform of that process, but clearly that is an element that's difficult to get a hand on as well.
Well, you've identified, obviously, one of those problems. I mean, the reforms that we're looking at on the budget process have to be complemented by political reforms as well. I mean, we were able to get Prop 11 passed, and I think that's certainly a step in the right direction. We probably should look at extending term limits. In addition, we ought to look at reforms in the initiative process because, very frankly, the initiative process becomes a crutch whereby people in Sacramento, if they don't want to make the hard decisions on spending, they simply throw those decisions in an initiative to the people of California. That's the way we've operated in the last few years, and frankly, as a result of that, 80% of the California budget is basically tied in just three areas.
Looking at the recommendations that you all are putting forward as well, there's one about a culture of accountability, if I could ask you about it briefly. You're talking about evaluating programs based on progress, and you know, it seems that one of the things that happens, too, is you have a lot of powerful interest groups who aren't exactly a big fan of going back and modifying them year in, year out. Is that something that can be changed in some kind of a formal structure, or is that a mindset in the terms of legislators and, again, back to the political process?
Well, unfortunately, again, it's a terrible mindset in which, you know, the way the legislative process works now is you basically focus on bills and more spending and you don't focus on the questions of whether or not that spending is in fact working. Is it delivering the product that was promised to the people of California? In many ways, this ties in with the performance standard issue that I talked about. If you're going to set up performance standards, then you have to have oversight by the legislature that looks at those programs and determines whether or not they're working or not. Frankly, too much time in Sacramento is spent on passing bills, and not enough time is spent on doing the kind of oversight to make sure that whatever spending is taking place is, in fact, serving the public interest.
One of the philosophical discussions I've seen a lot as a reporter covering the State House here is this notion is covered in the fourth one of the proposals here about paying your own way and trying to figure out exactly how much money you have. There's one side of the aisle, and it's typically more often heard by Democrats, so I want to ask you as a Democrat about it, where there's a philosophy that says we should pick the services that we think are important and then find a way to pay for them instead of saying how much money we have and then how do we spend that. You know, it's a slightly different view of the coin, so to speak. And given that and given the way you all seem to be saying that's a difficult way to do it, I mean, is that a mindset that Democrats have to change?
Well, I think it's a mindset that the Democrats have to change, but also the Republicans. Republicans love to do tax cuts, regardless of how much they add to the deficit, and they're never asked to, in fact, be responsible for how exactly are they going to pay for those tax cuts. In Washington, when we were facing large deficits, I guess large deficits in those days was about $250-300 billion, we established the discipline of PAYGO, and essentially what that says is if you want to develop new spending, if you want to cut taxes, simply pay for it. Don't add it to the deficit. Don't borrow in order to make that work. It was one of the best disciplines we had, and frankly, it helped us ultimately balance the budget. I think that same discipline needs to be applied at the state level. For Democrats who want to increase spending, They should be required to tell us how they're going to pay for it. And for Republicans, who in you know, Republicans like to increase spending too, whether it's for prisons or for crime. If you're going to do that, pay for it. If you're going to cut taxes, pay for it. Don't simply borrow or put that on the backs of our children to pay for those obligations.
Some of this almost seems to be a modified version of the notion of zero-based budgeting. It clearly doesn't go that far, but it's again trying to defend the worthiness of programs before you just spend it.
Yeah, no, there's a lot to that. It's basically asking the question, you know, are these programs working? You know, are we in fact getting the best bite for the dollar that we're putting into them? Are we serving people's interests? And frankly, the people are entitled to know that as well. After all, the public pays the taxes. They ought to know whether the programs that come out of Sacramento are in fact working. Are they serving their best interests, or are they simply serving the interests of the special interests out there who really don't focus on whether or not those programs really do serve the public interest?
And I noticed that the fifth proposal that you all are putting forward is this notion of identifying revenue that's non-recurring. I guess that is unusual revenue and holding it aside, which is similar to the rainy day fund proposals that have been talked about here and one even that the legislature and the governor worked on last summer. I notice you all are avoiding things that are more controversial, like spending caps. I mean, is that I guess that's by design, that those are just too difficult to work out or too controversial or not enough ground there for cooperation?
Well, you know, I'm not, I guess I say this as somebody who is a former director of OMB as well as a budget chair. I'm not adverse to looking at possible budget caps. We actually did put what was called a discretionary spending cap in place that provided for some degree of growth. I guess what I need to see in Sacramento is that if those kinds of issues are going to be put on the table, what kind of deal can be made? What kind of decisions can be made in exchange for that? In other words, if the Republicans are interested in a spending cap, what are they willing to vote for in terms of revenues in order to match a spending restraint that's put in place? That's the kind of give and take that, frankly, has been lacking in Sacramento. Each party takes its position. Each party kind of gets into its own trench. And nobody's willing to meet at the center to try to resolve these horrible crises that are facing the state.
A lot of these proposals you're talking about, once they got fleshed out to more specifics, I suppose, would have to go to the voters ultimately with the way that things work in California. And I'm wondering, given that there's a very big political element to that, I mean, you've got a lot of interest groups who would love to knock these kinds of things down. I mean, how does that message get out? I mean, who could fight that kind of fight on behalf of the right fight? I mean, unfortunately, it's a political thing and money becomes part of that. But, I mean, have you all thought at all about how you actually could make that case beyond those entrenched interest groups?
Well, obviously, you know, I think our first goal is to try to see if we can convince the legislative leadership and the governor to support these kind of reforms. They're dealing with probably the worst fiscal crisis that we have faced in a very long time, and probably the worst deficit that the state has ever faced. That's a huge crisis that needs to be dealt with, and obviously, there are a lot of tough decisions that need to be made. This is an opportunity to put in place the reforms that can hopefully establish a better budget process for the future. We hope the governor and the leadership are willing to support these reforms. We're hoping to introduce them as legislation in Sacramento. In addition to that, frankly, we're going to take these issues to the people of California. They need to know that we're making this effort. We think we can get support at the grassroots level for these kinds of reforms, since a lot of them are, frankly, put in place by local government. It's the kind of thing that ultimately the people themselves are going to have to put pressure on those who are elected to make the tough decisions that, frankly, they were elected to do.
What feedback are you getting as you've pushed these things forward to either members of the legislature or the governor or folks like that in terms of getting people on board?
I think there is a lot of receptivity on both the Democratic and Republican side to try to put some of these disciplines in place. Everybody acknowledges that that Sacramento is largely dysfunctional right now. Politically they aren't making the decisions that have to be made. That from a budget point of view they aren't really being held accountable for the spending, for the programs, for the decisions that are made from year to year. And I think there is a willingness, particularly with the new leadership there, to try to put some of these reforms in place. And we want to work with them. Hopefully any budget deal will include these reforms, because the worst thing that we could do is simply apply the kind of bandages we have in the past, where we pass a budget in California, and a month later it's already outdated. It's already a budget that no longer applies to the situation that we're dealing with. So if we're going to resolve these issues, if we're going to be a state that's on the cutting edge of the future, it seems to me that everyone has to work in the same direction toward these kinds of reforms.
As you know, there have always been people who've tried to cajole you into running for office statewide. Are these the kind of things that would say, boy, I'm glad I didn't?
You know, I was born and raised in California, and I really do love the state. But I think, you know, part of the problem we're seeing today is that in many ways, our democratic process is being tested. We elect people. We elect them to go to Sacramento. We elect them to be the governor. With the responsibility to make some very tough choices. Unfortunately, in the last few years, those choices have not been made, and we pay a price for that. I guess what I'm interested in, what I've always been interested in, is leaders who are willing to lead instead of having crisis determine what our policy is going to be.
Mr. Panetta, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your interest.
And again, that was my conversation recently with Leon Panetta, former White House Chief of Staff under President Clinton, former congressman from Monterey, and one of the new leaders of a group called California Forward, a bipartisan organization trying to find some way to solve California's year after year crisis of setting and carrying out its state budget process. And we certainly need that in the coming year, as another long, difficult year seems ahead for this gridlock, impasse, everything we've had over the state budget here in Sacramento. That'll do it for this edition of Capital Notes. We'll be back to our weekly look at what's been going on next week. Hope you're enjoying the holiday season and having a great 2009. I'm John Myers from KQED. We'll see you next time.